Beautiful start on this Thursday in downtown Wausau. Plenty of sunshine. Temperature stands at 56 degrees. The time is 8:07. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the aforementioned Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a little bit later on this hour, it is Thursday, so that means another edition of North Star Knows with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. Going to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that the Memorial Day weekend, the weather that led to some bad weather, some flooding in some areas, and some of the challenges that homeowners faced this past weekend. We'll talk about that, focusing on some basement flooding and other issues as well during North Star Knows, as Jay Cricks and John Garcia will join us again. Starting at 8:34 this morning here on Bow Falls Radio. Also, we'll take a look at the weather as we get closer and closer to the weekend, coming up in just a little bit as well. But to start things off here on Thursday morning, we're always very happy to welcome back to the program the host of Up North News Radio that you can hear every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
I want to start off with baseball because I know that you... someone that keeps an eye on baseball and enjoy the baseball season. And yesterday I was doing a high school playoff game, and it was a pitcher's duel. And it ended up being going into extra innings scoreless, and in the end a 1-0 game in 8 innings. And during the 6th inning, and to anybody in the press box that would listen to me, I went on a mini rant saying that if this was a major league game, both these guys would be out of the game by this point, and we'd already be into the bullpen, despite the fact they had shutouts going with only 2 hits allowed. Because 2 nights ago, the Brewers and the Cubs were playing. And the Chicago Cubs had a pitcher, I think it was Ben Brown, if I'm not mistaken, who had a no-hitter through 7 innings. Mm-hmm. And he got yanked. And the thing that jumped out about me in this situation is a number of years ago, I mean, not that long ago, when we first started seeing the pitchers with no hitters getting yanked from games, there would be actually some discussion on it. There would be, you know, is this the right thing to do? You know, is it a chance to make a historical achievement here? Now it's like, nah. It's just the way it is.
Just the way it is. Just gotta pull you. Yeah, yeah. It's
it makes me mad. That's why I was ranting to anybody who would listen to me between innings yesterday.
It reminded me, and I've just looked it up again. One of the greatest games ever.
I know.
And I'd been saving it for a couple of weeks from now on July 2nd, 1963. Warren Spahn pitching for the Milwaukee Braves versus Juan Marichal. And for the San Francisco Giants, and 16 innings, complete games by both gentlemen, both over 200 pitches apiece in, you know, what became a 1-0 win for the Giants, thanks to Willie Mays with a walk-off home run in the 16th inning in San Francisco. 16 inning complete game by both pitchers.
Warren Spahn, by the way, as well, he was 42 years old that night.
Yeah.
He was he had many, 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 many innings on that arm. 42 mm-hmm. years old, and he just kept going and going and going. And I think I'm familiar with that game as well. I believe he threw a shutout, you know, into the 16th inning. I think he only had 1 strikeout You talk about pitching. Mm-hmm. That is pitching right there. And and I don't think that anybody's asked to pitch anymore. I mean, in terms of, and I was, you know, yesterday, and I was on the air, and I said, this was a playoff game, and it was, and there's something also special about having the pitchers that start it still in there, in the, where there's a runner on third and the winning run, and as opposed to, and even two nights ago, again, I was looking at a recap of a Phillies game against the Giants. It went 0-0 through nine and then into the 10th inning. Oh, I think it's a great pitcher's duel. Well, the Phillies starter went six innings, and then they had about three pitchers that took it to the end. And that night it was the, quote, the hated, in my opinion, quote, bullpen game for the Giants. So,
the bullpen games. What it reminds me of, and I don't know that this was the last time it ever happened, but the 1991 World Series, Jack Morris for the Minnesota Twins.
10 innings.
And Tom Kelly, the Twins manager, you know, was looking to pull him out. And Jack Morris, who was, of course, a longtime veteran at that point, just looks at TK and says, no, I'm not coming out of this game. And he pitched into the 10th, and the Twins went on to win. The last time any Minnesota sports team of consequence has won something, by the way. When do you ever see a pitcher going into the 10th inning in recent years? I'm not saying it's never happened, but I think I can count them on one hand.
I think you probably have a few fingers left over when you finish counting as well. Let's turn away from baseball. I wanted to ask you a question as well, because I think you probably noticed as well. I mean, even here on Civic Media, but then you go home and you can either watch over-the-air television or cable television, or in my case, something like Pluto TV, and see a lot of political spots. And something that kind of jumped out at me. I was thinking about this. I don't think the political spots are as good as they used to be. I can't recall right now. I think Tammy Baldwin put out a couple of spots that, talk about her work in terms of trying to save lives in terms of some of the drug issues that are pretty solid. But I think generally, commercials for the political candidates have really become, like, I think politics itself, like a sledgehammer. Am I wrong on that? Who's run for office, and I'm sure you watch these spots maybe with a different kind of eye, has anything impressed you in the early going of this campaign? We've seen already quite a few spots.
You know, the only time that I'd say I was impressed, and I'm kind of embarrassed to use the word that way, is when something is, a particular, zinger that gets used. But, in terms of something that really is either inspiring or makes you think, or just doesn't make you angry, it has definitely been a while. And look, I never watched, Mad Men. I'm not saying that, we need a John Hamm type character, creating a whole new generation of ads, but I would like to see something out of the ordinary. I will say, from a personal standpoint, the winning campaign that I ran for legislature in 2006, we did something that was different at the time and was well received. It had been a bitter campaign. And for the last weekend, people thought I was crazy, but I asked our team to put together an ad of just gently flowing like water and like a deer out in the woods or something. And we just put, this moment of calm in a busy political season brought to you by Pat Kreitlow for Senate. And people say, oh, can't believe you're not, taking shots at Dave Zien or talking about yourself. Like, nope, I just want to do a little bit of this. And look, when you win with 50.9% of the vote, anything could be the thing that did it. I'm going to say at least we did something a little different with that ad that weekend that I wouldn't mind seeing more of.
And I think it could work, because I've read a book. It's named We Almost Made It. It's from the 1976 Gerald Ford campaign. It was written by one of his ad men. And he came on real. It was a chaotic campaign. He came on after, right before the convention, basically, and the Ford campaign was really chaotic, and him and his partners, he wrote about, the entire campaign in terms of what they were doing with the media, as they were down about 25-30 points against Carter when the summer began after the Democratic convention. And something that jumped out in reading that book that I think is different than today is that he felt there was a responsibility to put out information and issues and be positive and what as compared to what he called back then comparative ads. I think the negative ads were more comparative ads where you say, well, our guy does this and then their guy, and you can use the language a little bit more negatively, but not in the way that it became, I would say, probably post Lee Atwater and the
you
early
had
1980s.
To mention Lee Atwater,
but oh, I mean, boy. It was a very interesting read because it's not that long ago, 1976, where I think the rules of engagement were different than they are today.
Oh, of course they are, to the point where I would go retro with what's old is new again. I would, if I were managing a campaign, I'd put that candidate on a stool with a plain backdrop and just speak in a tone that is positive, upbeat. You can go ahead and say, you know, my opponent is wrong about this, but without, you know, having the name calling or anything else. I think people might actually find that refreshing. Is I don't have to guess if this ad came from the candidate or from some independent group that didn't know about it. Wink. Let's just hear from the candidates. Mm-hmm. I think that would be refreshing.
And I actually think that something that jumped out again as I reread that book recently was that the main spot that Ford ran near the end of the campaign was basically a marching band with this song, an original song named talking about making America proud again. And the ad writer said, yeah, there were issues. There were big issues that were still trying to come out of some economic problems, and there was a lot going on.
Yes.
But compared to Watergate, compared to Nixon, he was more of a positive influence, more of a bright influence, and the people bought it. And I think that a guy like Biden, compared to the darkness of a guy like Trump, that could work in 2024. I think sometimes people are afraid to try to be that upbeat about it because of the...
I definitely get your point on that, that kind of a contrast. It didn't help Ford in the end simply because by being the Republican candidate,
right,
he was going to get tainted by Watergate. And so Jimmy Carter represented like just this clean sweep. But so it's not exactly apples to apples, but Biden could totally do to Trump like, oh, remember those days? Because
right,
I fear
right.
too many people have kind of forgotten just what a train wreck we had during those 4 years. And before I leave, I did look it up here. It's 2012 was the last time a starting pitcher's gone into the 10th inning.
Wow.
And it's only happened 12 times since 1995. So bring starting pitchers back again. Make starting pitchers great again.
There's a
That's
hat
my new
for
motto.
You, right? There's a hat. Pat
That's
Kreitlow,
right.
Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every weekday morning, 6 till 8 a.m. Thanks again for joining us, Pat. Have a great day, great weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
You as well. Thank you, sir.
Pat Kreitlow joins us again every Thursday morning. Coming up, we're going to touch on the weather. Again, coming up at 8:34, it is, again, North Star Knows with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXEO, and on the Civic Media app, and again, also join us at facebook.com and x.com. Just go to either those social media sites and go to the Bull Falls Radio page. You'll be able to then see a video of our production, I guess to put it, and also make comments and join us that way as well. So again, that's at facebook.com and also at x.com. And you can also join us by calling or texting at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. Normally during this time of the program, we are joined by Brittany Merlot, but she's a little bit under the weather today, so she's not going to be with us. She'll be back with us again tomorrow morning, but this is a good day for Brittany not to have to, you know, drag herself out when she's not feeling all that well, because the weather is very quiet. There's not a lot that we need to warn you about, except to say, hey, get out there and enjoy it, because just like yesterday where we had lots of sunshine, pretty calm conditions as well, it looks like today and tonight will be very similar. In fact, today, right now, we look outside, sunny skies, temperature of 56 degrees, and for the rest of today, it's going to stay this way. Sunny skies, I mean, just a gorgeous day, almost a perfect day. Moderate temperatures up to about 72 degrees, and the winds, again, fairly light. So if you're somebody that likes to get out there and golf, today would be a great day because you won't have to battle the wind, and the weather will be outstanding. South winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies. Look for a low around 46. Southeast winds, again, staying very light at 5 to 8 miles per hour. Our next chance of rain will be tomorrow, but not a great chance of rain. Tomorrow, partly sunny, but there will be a chance of a shower, maybe even a thunderstorm possible late in the afternoon. But pretty good chance we won't see any rain either. But high near 70 tomorrow, 30% chance of rain at this point. Tomorrow night, 50% chance of showers. Thunderstorms also possible in the overnight, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low of 56. And for the weekend, partly sunny on Saturday. A 50% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 4 p.m. and a high near 72. Saturday night, mostly clear, a chance of thunderstorms before 7 p.m., a low of 51. And then on Sunday, wrap up the weekend, partly sunny skies, a 30% chance of showers after 1 p.m. Again, not at this point anything that I think we should be overly concerned about, and Sunday's high of 77 degrees. Currently in downtown Wausau, again at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, fair skies, plenty of sunshine and a temperature of 56 degrees. The winds are out of the southeast at 8 miles per hour. The dew point is 41, relative humidity of 57%, the barometer at 30.25 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. Well, normally in this first hour of the Thursday edition of the program, because we have Pat Kreitlow on in the first segment, then we have our weather update with Brittany Merlot in the second segment, and then, of course, for the rest of the hour, starting at 8:34, it's North Star Knows with John Garcia and Jay Cricks from North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds. We don't really get a chance to have a proper introduction to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Walsh, but we do have a few minutes here at the end of this segment before we get to a North Star Knows. So let's do it. Let's say good morning to Ian Walsh. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
It is Thursday, May the 30th of 2024. We've been talking for a couple of months now about targeting Friday, May the 31st of 2024 is the opening night for Anything Goes, again, from the Wausau Community Theater. Two big weekends of productions, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with five productions next week. And tonight it is Final Dress.
Yes, it is.
So are you ready for Final Dress tonight?
Yes, I am. I am ready as I'll ever be. I am a very tired and very exhausted after last night, but I'm going to make sure I take care of myself today, make sure I drink lots of water, some tea with honey, and make sure I keep the voice ready for the next few days.
And, of course, Tech Week. This is Tech Week, where everything is put together. All the the lighting cues and the music and everything else. And Tech Week, it's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. Has everything gone smooth with the technical aspects of this show?
Well, every night of Tech Week is always a work in progress. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, have to be changed and updated. But for the most part, our last few days, quite a few things have been working out quite nicely. And a few things had to be adjusted. But the next rehearsal, they were able to adjust it and make it better. And then a few more technical things had to be fixed here and there in the last rehearsal. But overall, I believe the show is coming along great.
Very good. So very exciting time. The countdown continues. And again, we want to encourage folks to get those tickets because,
yes, please.
Again, Wausau Community Theater, they need the support. They need the revenue from these tickets to be able to continue to put on these terrific productions. But again, Friday night, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 2 p.m. And then after a little break, they'll come back at it next Thursday, June the 6th at 6:30. Then 7:30 production next Friday, June 7th. June 8th, two big shows, afternoon at 2 p.m. and then in the evening at 7:30. And then they'll bring the curtain down with a final matinee on Sunday, June the 9th at 2 p.m. Performances at the UW Center for Civic Engagement on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point at Wausau. And again, you can get tickets by going to the Wausau Community Theater website. Go check out the Facebook page of WCT. And of course, you can just come to the door. And that's probably the way I'm going to do it. I'm just going to come to the door,
absolutely,
buy my ticket, and then see this production featuring our very own Ian Welsh starting on Friday night. So again, break a leg during your final dress tonight, and then of course break a leg, and we'll talk more about this later when you open it up tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Chad.
Want to remind folks as well that coming up later this afternoon, I will be heading to Plover as the Newman Catholic High School softball team will try to punch a ticket to next week's state tournament in Madison. It is a sectional final, and it's been a great run for the Newman Cardinals. They have won three road games in a row to get to this point, and they're basically going to have to do it again. Another road game taking on the Pacelli Cardinals. And Pacelli, one of the top teams in the state in Division 5. It's going to be a big test, but a great opportunity for Newman Catholic. Newman Catholic and Pacelli, softball sectional final. I will be on the air starting at 4:20 for the pregame right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up, it is an information update. We'll find out what's going on in news, weather, and sports. Get you completely up to speed as we do at the top and the bottom of every hour. And then after that, it is North Star Knows. It is Thursday morning, so John and Jay from North Star Restoration and North Star Builds, they'll be with us coming up for the rest of the hour. I'm Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:34, just a gorgeous start here in north central Wisconsin, here in downtown Wausau, 56 degrees, plenty of sunshine. It's going to be a gorgeous day, and it's a great day to welcome back Jay Cricks from North Star Restoration Services as we have our Thursday feature, North Star Knows. And good morning,
thanks.
Jay.
Hey, good morning, Chad. Thanks for having me back.
You're flying solo today.
I sure am. John is off today, you know, charging his batteries and getting ready for the home show coming up.
John, boy, I got to say, he's not here, so it won't embarrass him. He's really been fantastic.
Yeah,
I
got
to tell you,
really good,
he really can. He comes across so well. He must be just an incredible asset for the entire.
He is. He's a great guy to have on the team. And I said home show, but I meant parade of homes.
Yeah, parade of homes. Exactly. Right. Hey, we coming off a holiday weekend, and so often for Memorial Day.
Yeah.
It's about getting out, enjoying, having a picnic, having a cookout. But here in central Wisconsin last weekend, boy, we had to, after a Saturday that was very nice, well, boy, then Sunday and Monday, the old drenchers.
We had the typical Memorial weekend weather here in Wisconsin. You know, one day of rain, one day of decent weather, another day of rain. So it was very off and on this Memorial weekend. And I will say this, our on-call crews were hopping. They were very busy.
And the thing about it is, and we've talked about this over the last few months in terms of some of the different focuses, all of a sudden you have that drencher and all of a sudden folks go down to their basement and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh.
That's kind of what we wanted to talk about today was, you know, those rains, those heavy rains that came through Memorial weekend. Now we're a good, you know, almost a week past, you know, 4 or 5 days past those heavy rains. And we're still getting calls. People that haven't been down to the basement, and you know, for some reason they just went down this week and like, uh-oh, now we've got some issues.
Maybe so, this is a silly question again. Yeah. I like to ask the silly question because I really, as I've said before, I think I'm the average person that knows very little about what you're an expert at.
But you're getting an education.
I am certainly. I mean, it's really been interesting. Yeah. I'm not kidding you. But for when you do have drenchers, and mm-hmm. and does the flooding always occur rather quickly, or just sometimes, is there sometimes a delay?
So it really depends on what was happening weather-wise leading up to that drencher. Was there a slow rain and then boom, it suddenly came down? Where's the water table at? How much groundwater has already absorbed into the system? Are you getting this drencher right after a spring thaw? So it really are you coming off of a drought? So it really varies. Sometimes, you know, quite honestly, sometimes we get those drenchers and we don't get any calls because the ground accepted all of it and it just, you know, flowed out through the water table. But if you've been getting rain on and off for a few days and, you know, then boom, you get hit with a, you know, an inch or 2 inches of rain, we're going to get some calls.
Do power outages have any influence on this?
You know, so we've talked about this in weeks past, but your number one line of defense, if your basement is susceptible to flooding, is your sump pump. Mm-hmm. And most sump pumps run on electricity. So I would say absolutely. If the power goes out, you're going to want to make sure that you're checking your basement, at least have a battery backup in place or have some sort of generator available to hook up that sump pump and keep it going. If it's an unattended, you know, second home or cabin or something like that, keep your fingers crossed.
Another little silly question for the sump pump, and I probably should know this after the discussions. When there is an outage, does it have to be reset or do the sump pumps automatically come back on?
As far as I know, as soon as the water turns, or as soon as the power turns back on, the sump pump should kick right on.
There you go.
On.
Well, good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
And let's delve into what's been happening the last weekend, and maybe some examples again of the calls that you're getting as well. I guess, you know, we'll start with flooding in finished basements.
Yeah. So today we kind of want to focus on the finished basement. Obviously, if you've got an unfinished basement and it's just a concrete bunker, water comes in. Should flow right out through your sump pump or your, you know, a drain in the floor. But let's talk about those finished spaces. And we've got a lot of homeowners here in central Wisconsin that, you know, you've got a finished basement. You've got that extra bedroom downstairs. You've got that finished kids play area. Maybe it's just a nice man cave that, you know, maybe you've got a nice bar, some things down there.
The pool table,
all of those things where you get down into the basement. It's like, wow, this is a beautiful space.
Right.
But what happens is you end up covering up the walls. You cover up the floor. And if you just have a little bit of seepage or a little bit of water that came in, it's hard to notice that. Hmm. It's like everything looks normal. So how do you know? So what do you do? So that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today is identifying those hidden areas. And, you know, one of the first signals that you're going to, you know, find or have or hit you in the face, I guess, is if it's been wet for a few days and you've got carpet.
I was going to say that's probably the first thing. Exactly.
You're going to notice an odor.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different than the normal odor that your basement has. It might start smelling like a gym locker or the inside of a very damp or dank area. It just kind of has this sour sort of like bacteria scent. And that's really what it is. It's the bacteria that's in that water that came through the building materials and now it's sitting down on your carpet pad. It's starting to digest and it's starting to react with, other elements that are in your carpet and it actually has an odor to it. So that's that smell. It's like, that smells like something might be going on down here. So that's when you might want to start your investigation.
And there's a lot of areas that the water can find its way into, correct? I mean, it's really hard to have everything where it is completely insulated from anything like some sort of water seepage, right?
So there are some systems out there. There's some basement waterproofing companies and basement water mitigation where they put these systems in where the water will come through the foundation, but it retains it and then pumps it out. So for those of us that don't have those fancy, very expensive systems, we normally just, drywall our basements and put carpet and pad down and start throwing furniture in. So there are some hidden areas and there are some things to kind of look for. So if you do have a paneled basement where you've got the old school paneling, we've all been down in basements where you see that paneling looks a little warped, where it's kind of going in and out, or maybe you start getting these like white speckles. That's an indication that paneling may have gotten wet and now you've got some microbial growth. Another thing to look for if you've got drywall in the basement is if it's gotten wet, you're going to kind of see like a water line in the drywall where it's like, hey, It didn't look like that 2 weeks ago. What's going on down there? You might want to get down on your hands and knees and, you know, kind of feel around. If there's trim and you're somewhat handy, you can go ahead and pop off a piece of trim. And where those nail holes were going through the trim, you should, if it was wet, it's going to be almost soft like a putty. And you'll kind of, you'll like, uh-oh, we've got something going on here. And that's when you really need to start taking action.
Again, we're talking to Jay Cricks from North Star Restoration Services here on North Star Knows, which we do every Thursday morning here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. When you've talked about a number of different areas to keep an eye on. And again, maybe I'm jumping ahead, but if I am, please pull me back. When there is that kind of damage, I guess that's the word
hidden,
put?
Hidden water, damage. Yeah.
How much work then goes into that? I mean, are these often minor inconveniences, or do they turn into major inconveniences?
You know, it goes both ways, honestly, Chad. It could be somewhat minor. So a home, and we've got customers. I had one call me a couple days ago. Laminate flooring in the basement. That's a little bit tougher of a challenge because where carpet and pad, you're going to walk on it, you're going to feel it, and it might be kind of squishy. But with laminate flooring, that water is going to stay right underneath that laminate flooring in between the concrete and the bottom of that laminate. So you might have to go in and uninstall a piece, flip it up, take a look, take off some trim, kind of flip back a few pieces, try and uninstall it without damaging it. But sometimes it's installed in such a manner that you can't. And that's when these basement projects become a little bit more expensive. Where carpet and pad, you can, flip the carpet over, you can rinse it, clean it, disinfect it. The padding, we typically just, cut that pad out, haul it out, dry the floor, dry the wall, and then put down new pad and then reinstall the carpet. But if you've got a laminate floor in your basement or a tile or a ceramic floor, in, something that's got a mortar bed to it, it could be quite extensive. We mentioned earlier those man caves with those finished bars and those pool tables. Those things have to sometimes, and it's happened more than once where the water's gotten underneath those really nice bars that, someone has a custom bar made, and now you got to uninstall that, remove the toe kicks. Sometimes you have to take everything out, pull it off the wall. Sometimes you got to remove drywall, and it can be quite extensive.
Again, this pops into my mind here that the only good thing is if it is in the basement, it doesn't go through a
mean, because it didn't come through the ceiling.
Okay, I mean, that's it. Just you just get almost chills thinking about something like that.
And
just basic structure.
Yeah.
What in terms of something you said, you got me quite a few calls. Is there an example of the far most difficult project that you've seen recently? Is there something?
So I was keying on some of that, where you've got these fully finished basements with beautiful laminate floors, these big bars built in, maybe a pool table. It's decked out. And now you've got to go in and sort of deconstruct this stuff. You've got to haul everything out of the basement. It's very labor intensive, removing all the contents. So that's one thing that if the homeowner does discover moisture damage in the basement, that's one of the things that they can do to, if they're going to DIY part of the project, is start getting things out of the basement. What you can do to safeguard your contents is if you're not able to haul the heavy items out or take them apart and get them up the stairs, get some foam blocks. If you don't have foam blocks to set them up on, get some tin foil out of your kitchen. Go get some tin foil, and you put that down in between the legs of your couch or the legs of your pool table, and then call for reinforcements. And you get the young guys down there hauling out those heavy things.
Something you've always mentioned as well is the importance of timing.
Yeah.
Man, how much damage can be done if people either, as you said, don't notice it, or just number two, kind of ignore it and say, I can wait a few days.
Can wait a day or two. But what's going to end up happening is if you have a lot of wood furniture down there, those legs are going to start splitting. The varnish is going to start coming off those legs. So you might have some furniture repair, some refinishing needs. If it goes too long, like we get past 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, we're getting into the danger zone with the building, with the structure materials, especially if there's drywall, which is a perfect medium because you've got this gypsum board and then you've got paper, and then it's nice and, a good temperature in your basement. It's a perfect medium for the M word to start forming. So that's kind of like your Goldilocks zone, is that first, we'll call it 72 hours, right around 3 days, you really want to be taking some serious action if it's been wet. Once you're beyond 3, 4, 5 days, for the most part, you're going to be smelling that microbial right. growth. You're going to be smelling that digestion of those organic materials. And most assured, you'll probably find some microbial growth in the corners, or you pull back the carpet, or you flip over a piece of laminate flooring, and lo and behold, you've got white and green dots and, you know, speckles forming on stuff. So that's an indication that, yeah, you've got some mold started.
We're going to delve more into mold in just a moment,
sure,
but before we finish off this segment, something, again, that I think, especially for folks like myself who may not have all the answers, is just having somebody like yourself from North Star or anybody else that have that assessment. Because, again, I think, again, one of the threads is, boy, be active in terms of trying to fix the problems before they get so big that it really turns into a major, major issue.
So the biggest thing you do is just don't ignore the issue. You know, if you live in an older home or an area that's prone to flooding, you know, after a major rainstorm, go down and check. You know, go down and probe those corners. Don't be afraid to, you know, if there's carpet and pad, grab it by the, you know, get a pliers and grab that corner of the carpet. Just kind of pull it back quick and see if you got any issues. You can tuck it back in. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. Just be diligent is really the main thing. Once it's happening and the sump pump has failed or the power is out, there's really not much you can do. You know, right. The most thing you can do if it's actively happening in your home, start moving contents. Start getting your small things up and out of the way, because those are less items that a restoration company is going to have to deal with when they finally do arrive at the home. You know, the more things you can get up and out of the way, the faster a company can take action, start extracting the water, you know, start putting in equipment for drying and things like that, other than worrying about moving all kinds of contents.
One other question here, last minute before we take a quick time out. We've had a number of these drenchers in the last month. As we now go into the summer months, the fact that we've had this, do people need to be even more aware as we get into the summer months?
Yeah.
Because of that?
We're in that time of year right now. You know, we're in spring. It's springtime. Everything's in full bloom. So, you know, just like your garden outside, you know, you plant the seeds, you put some water on it, and you give it time, and things start growing. And there's no different with your basement. You know, that stuff comes into the basement, you add water to it, you ignore it, you give it some time, next thing you know, things are starting to grow downstairs.
We're going
to
talk about the M word coming up in about a minute as we continue with Jay Cricks. It is North Star Knows with North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds. More to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. It's North Star Knows here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We do it every Thursday morning for the final half hour of the 8 o'clock hour as North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds joins us to answer a lot of questions and really give us a lot of information when it comes to your home and as, you know, branches from outside that as well. And today we're joined by the man himself, Jay Cricks. And Jay, you said the M word.
I did.
And we were talking before the show actually started about how, you know, it's like anything else. It grows.
It's a plant. It grows like anything else. So,
and of course, those issues, they jump up. And I guess we'll start off. Number one, you know, you have to be able to recognize the issues. Mm-hmm. Where do you start here?
So, like we kind of talked about in the previous segment, you start with an investigation. If you think that you've got a basement that's prone to flooding, or it has flooded in the past, get down there after a rainstorm and poke around and take a look. If you don't have access to the home for a few days, like we mentioned earlier, one of the first things you're going to notice is there's probably going to be an odor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be like, hey, what's that odor all about? So you're going to want to start probing the corners and taking a look at stuff. And, you know, like we said earlier, we're focused on finished basements today, not really so much the unfinished space, because that's easy. But it's the difficult ones, the ones that are fully finished with, you know, drywall and 2x4s and carpet and pad and, you know, like we had mentioned earlier, a built-in bar. So these are the things that you're going to want to just really do your due diligence and get down there and do some investigating. Now, I know at different, like, building supply places, they sell, or you can find them, you can even order them online. They sell moisture meters where they've got penetrating and non-penetrating. We've got, you know, You have a few dozen of them at North Star. All of our emergency mitigation crews carry them in the truck. So what we do is we'll go in and they've got two little pins, metal pins on them, and you can, you know, poke them into the drywall right above the trim line, and it'll give you an indication if there's moisture in that drywall. We also have non-penetrating meters where you can put these meters on the drywall without actually making little pinholes in them, and you sort of just slide it across the building material, and it'll signal if there's moisture content in there. So there's a lot of ways to kind of probe and check, but I guess once the damage is done, you haven't been at the house, you're just going to kind of start looking around for, you know, the typical signs of mold, which is going to be, you know, it looks like it starts off typically like little white dots. And as time goes on, mold will recolonize itself. So it'll start off with a fast growing, not so toxic type of mold. And over time, different mold will colonize that old mold colony. There's a lot of science behind it. Mm-hmm. And eventually, if it's left long enough, it becomes toxic, and it becomes, you know, a dangerous environment to live and breathe in. And living in an environment like that, you know, a lot of times you'd be like, man, I feel great when I get to work, which not a lot of people say, right?
Right.
But every time I get home, you know, I start to get like a headache or a stuffy nose, or I just feel different. And then I go outside for a walk and I feel a lot better. Hmm. Well, that might be a sign of some mold in your home, or a sick home syndrome, we call it. And that's when you might want to bring somebody in to maybe do some air testing or some surface sampling. We personally don't do that, but there are a couple companies in our area that you could call on, and they'll come over and they'll run some air tests, and they can start figuring out, like, maybe this area of the home, typically in the basement,
right,
is going to have some of those issues.
When you talk about science and talk about this kind of issue where you actually are feeling bad at times when you're at home and not maybe when you're at work or outside, it tells me again that it's important to have real experts involved in it, because you're getting, that's pretty serious stuff.
Sure. Yeah. You know, if it's a smaller area, it might be something that you can handle yourself. But once it becomes invasive and it's growing, you know, in the wall cavity, it's behind the baseboards, you start pulling that stuff off the walls and just dragging it out of the basement, what you're doing is you're cross-pollinating the rest of your home with those mold spores. Mm. And you're opening the door up for future issues in other areas of your home that it may have been contained to one area. And then you just willy-nilly start doing some demo and walking that stuff up the stairs, through the dining room, out, you know, through the living room, out the front door.
You're a carrier.
You are now just bringing it right through the home. So, you know, there are a lot of engineering controls that we put in place. We'll put the basement underneath negative air pressure. So when we are down there doing the basement, none of those spores are escaping to the other areas of the home. You know, things are getting double bagged. If there's a window that we can remove in the basement, you know, we'll put that stuff out the window rather than bringing it through the home. You know, there'll be a containment chamber. The employees will be wearing, you know, PPE suits, like the white, almost looks like a painter's outfit. Uh-huh. You see the guys in the Tyvek suits with the full face respirator, the Tyvek gloves, you know, the whole deal, because not only is it toxic for your home, it's toxic for the human also that's doing the work if you're breathing that stuff in and, you know, dealing with that all day long. So we have to not only put engineering controls in place to protect the home and the occupants of the home, but we also need to use PPE. And that's been a buzzword over the last 4 or 5 years. Nobody knew what PPE was 4 or 5 years ago, but now everybody's familiar with PPE.
How are we able to not get to that point? The best way is to try to prevent it, right?
Exactly. That's the best thing. So just like we'd mentioned a few times already, just be diligent, check your basement, have good cleaning parameters. So you're going down and you're doing an annual cleaning in your basement. You're keeping an eye on things. You're doing your maintenance, making sure that, you know, if you do have, you know, control, if you're a homeowner, make sure you've got those downspouts and those runoff gutters in place so the water is getting away from the home. You do everything you can preventatively way ahead of time. You can't control if the power goes out, but if it does go out, make sure you've got a battery backup system or perhaps a water-generated sump pump a water-driven sump pump where if the power does go out, the sump pump runs off of city water pressure. There's a lot of good solutions out there. They make these, and I think we've talked about them in previous shows, they make these water alarms where you can put them, you know, near your sump pump, near the base of your hot water heater. So if you do have a leak or some seepage, the alarm goes off, and they make some really, really cool ones that the basic ones will just sound like a buzzer going off in your basement. The really cool ones would be, they send you a text message. they're hooked up to your Wi-Fi. Not so good if the power goes out, though.
Right.
You know, the
right.
basic ones that just sound like an alarm going off are usually sufficient. That way it's like, hey, what's that sound in my basement? Oh, we've got water. All right.
Exactly.
You know, anything that you can alert yourself ahead of time to give you that time frame that you need before them 3, 4, 5, a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by. Once you're at that point, you're really at the deconstruction phase and you're removing building materials and taking the house apart. But if you can catch it in, you know, a quick amount of time within those first couple of days, your chances of having a major reconstruction on your hands are very much so minimized.
And you like to be busy, but you don't want to be that busy.
We love being busy helping people in the first couple of days.
Yes.
It's never fun going down into somebody's basement and demoing everything 4 feet off the floor and removing all their contents. It's a hard day for not only the employees, but the homeowners coming to the realization that now they're going to have 20, 30, who knows how many thousands of dollars putting their basement back together that they didn't plan on. So the best thing you can do is just do your due diligence after a heavy rain and just kind of check your basement out.
Jay, we'll talk about Parade of Homes next week, right?
Well, actually, this is the quick plug. It's, you know, we are there.
Yeah.
The bus tour, I believe, is Monday, and the tour starts on Tuesday. So